Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back into ABQ Connect. We're on the phone this afternoon with Kevin and Laura Stark. They are missionaries with Youth with a Mission, and they have a ministry that's very unique with YWAM. It's called Team Extreme. Kevin and Laura, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Jim. Honored to be with you guys today. Very excited about our interview.
Well, you are both from Albuquerque, and I've gotten to know both of you over many years, and hadn't really talked to you much since you've been traveling around the world. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Team Extreme and the places that you've traveled.
Well, Kevin used to work at the University of New Mexico, and he was a speed and strength coach, and always had a passion to disciple athletes and to help the people in that particular field know how to use their gift and their talents as athletes to just naturally share their relationship that they have found with Jesus with whoever the Lord would put them in front of. So that was really his passion when we first met, and I worked at Calvary, and he was always bringing all the athletes at the back row, discipling many all the time, and my parents spotted him, and my dad had already said, wow, that would be an awesome husband for Laura. So my dad kind of saw Kevin first and was like already dreaming with God. And then we wound up on a trip to Israel together. And yeah, God just, you know how he does it. He pulls it all together. So anyways, so when Kevin finished, we felt like the Lord said that we were supposed to leave everything and go to Youth with a Mission. That's been 33 years ago. And we didn't really know the journey that God was taking us on. We were just being obedient to the next steps that God put in front of us. And it was a lot of unknown and faith steps, not really knowing like, wow, how is this going to lead to that? But the way God does it, he's just saying, trust me. Because I know where I'm going, and you don't understand it at the time, but then now you look back 33 years later and you're like, wow, like we could have never thought of these things, you know? But saying all that when after the year of YWAM, I mean, it's an amazing, crazy story of all the different things that we walk through with our relationship with Jesus to this point, but we had no idea how God was going to use the passion that Kevin had to disciple, train, equip, release the athlete to really be a true messenger, or some of them full-on evangelist in their skill and their gifting. And that's really what we've given our life to all these years. And it's looked different seasons, different ways that the Lord trained us how to do that. But when, you know, we started the Team Extreme, the way it multiplied is that all these guys, we were bottlenecking because all of them became such incredible leaders. And then we were in New Zealand on a long 3-month outreach, and the Holy Spirit just was telling Kevin, like, it's time to pray over these guys and let them go. Like, they need to start leading. And so that's another layer of what's been happening, is just the crazy multiplication of just recognizing who's in our midst and who God is saying, like, they can't be with you anymore. They need to go and start their own teams. And so I think we have about how many teams now?
About 20 different teams in 12 different countries. Yeah.
So anyways, he's still Skyping and meeting regularly with the leaders and just listening. I mean, they've already like outdone Kevin and I. Mm-hmm. So that's really awesome. Yeah. So it's amazing. You sit back as even like parents and grandparents spiritually and just go, wow, like, these guys are going wild. Like, they just take the baton and they're running, you know? So anyways, I know there's a lot to the stories behind everything I'm saying, but in a nutshell, I mean, that's what's coming to my thoughts when you ask the question.
Well, Laura,
Jim, let me throw a couple.
Yeah, Kevin, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just a couple of stories, because obviously it's a journey of 33 years, but Calvary Chapel was definitely such a foundation, and we talk as an ex-coach, fundamentals, foundations are really the key to your longevity and success. And several years sitting under Skip, being in the Word of God every Wednesday, every Sunday, small groups, and actually started small group that has started, you know, back in the 80s, and it's been going for 33, 40 years or something. Same.
Still meeting.
Still meeting together. But for me, the foundation of the word, foundation of consistent faithfulness, going through the Bible systematically, verse by verse, been such a key to our life and to our success and to our ministry. Just starting a hunger and a love from the word at a, from the very beginning. So I was, as an athlete and a coach, we were, that was my foundation, was Calvary Chapel. And just so thankful for that. And then just the other thing it just talks about in the word, being faithful in small things, and God will give you greater things. And sometimes being obedient, it's not an easy decision, but as you make those decisions, God gives you, you know, he just gives you more and he'll give you the grace. But I was just thinking of one story. I was a strength and conditioning coach 6 years at the University of New Mexico, worked with about 15 different sports, mostly football, basketball. And it was back in the days of Storm and Norman. Some of you know, back in those days, and just great Lobo basketball teams. And, but yeah, you know, they brought in a new athletic director, brought in a new football coach. My contract was getting ready to expire. And I had seen youth with a mission come to Calvary. They put on a presentation. I was really feeling a pulling from the Lord to get involved. And, but I love my job. I love coaching. We had a big, ministry at the University of Mexico, about 80 athletes would meet, small groups, and we had evangelism going on in the weight room and played Christian music. And yeah, it was just, it was a great ministry going on, but it felt the pull to go into missions. And then, this new AD comes in, new football coach. And I filled out an application just because I felt like I was being obedient. But again, in my heart, I'm just saying, ah, I'll do this because I feel like you're asking me, God, but I really don't want to leave University of New Mexico. And so about 2 weeks later, they brought me in the office, new AD, new head coach, and said, hey, we just feel like, you know, the new coach wants to bring in his strength coach. And this guy named Mark Paulson, some of you guys know Mark. But yeah, we're going to bring in his strength coach from a different university, and we're not going to renew your contract, you know. And so I remember leaving that meeting, just going back to the weight room and just crying, just because I love my ministry. I love my job. I love UNM. But just after that time with the Lord, just saying, you know, I've got something else for you. But sometimes you got to leave the thing you behind that you really love just with an open hand. And it's always a process. But just a couple stories to encourage people out there if they're, you know, waiting on the Lord, trusting the Lord for something else, or just being obedient where they're at. The key is hearing his voice and being obedient and being open for his process and his plan for your life.
That's a neat process. The process and plan for your life. I appreciate you sharing that, Kevin. Kevin, I need to frame this a little bit differently because I knew you pre-Laura. And
yeah.
I was a basketball player at the University of New Mexico. I'm a little bit older than you. Hate to admit that, but I am. And, of course, yeah. Pete Martinelli was the head strength coach when I was playing, and you were assisting Pete and probably doing most of the work. I guess when you get to be the head guy, you get to delegate a little bit. But, of sure. course, Pete was a well-known strength coach nationally. Of course, you've already mentioned Mark Paulson, who came after you, and neat Christian man and great ministry he had there as well. And you really laid a lot of groundwork for that. But I want to frame Team Extreme. And I put in my little list of questions that you have a very unique way of sharing the gospel. And I need our listeners to got to get a framework of Kevin Stark. And I don't even know if Laura knows this, but daily when I was in the gym, I would see you, Kevin, putting 4 and 5 plates, 4 or 5 45 pound plates on either side of a barbell, and squatting 400 or 500 pounds, and all of your compadres on the football team just slinging this lead around like it was nothing. And so I frame that with, all the yells and the screams and the accomplishments of strength training and all the things you accomplished with your athletes, you guys were putting in a lot of work and paying a lot of dues in terms of exercise and training. And you framed your whole ministry, it seems to me as an outsider, around what you loved, around physical training. And I want you to tell us about your unique way that you framed Team Extreme and shared the gospel in this way.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I think it's a lot of times more natural than we think, and the leading of the Lord, using our natural gifts and then giving understanding to our spiritual gifts. It's always a process. Obviously, you know, I played football at Del Norte High School only 1 year. And then I just believe I wasn't a believer then, but I believe God was leading me to my purpose and my destiny and my identity. But yeah, I used to live across the street, and you'll remember the name Toe Diem.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated from high school, wasn't planning on playing football anymore. And I was across the street from my house, and Toe lived there, and went in. I was selling something to do a fundraiser for the high school. And he just encouraged me. He looked at me, and, you know, you have to get those words in season. It changes the destiny and direction of your life. He said, I think you can make it at the University of Mexico. Why don't you walk on? And I think you can play. And again, I was too small, too slow, you know, didn't have any confidence. I walked on. I played a freshman ball, redshirted my second year, and just spent my life in the weight room growing, getting bigger and getting more confidence. My third year, I got a scholarship. And but I wasn't a believer then, but I really believe the Lord was directing my path. And then obviously graduated became a GA. Pete Martinelli took the job at the University of Oklahoma. I was probably one of the youngest head strength and conditioning coaches, but I believe, again, it was God opening up doors that no man can open out of Isaiah 22:22, and just allowing me to be blessed, even though I wasn't a full-on believer in Jesus. And then that process of, and after that, I'm just giving a little bit of a timeline, joined YWAM, ended up in the Olympics in Korea doing ministry in 88. And I went to see a guy named Carl Lewis. A lot of you, maybe older people, remember he was a gold medal long jumper and sprinter. And I went to this meeting, and I heard the voice of the Lord speaking as he was a Christian up there giving his testimony in Seoul, Korea. And he just said, I'm going to use you to train and mobilize athletes around the world to preach the gospel. And so it was something that was marked in my heart. You know, I was just, when I left coaching, I told the Lord, if I never coach again, never do anything with sports again, that's fine. I just want to serve you, want to follow you, deeply in love with you, Jesus. And, but yeah, I heard that voice, you know, of the Lord, to train and mobilize athletes to help fulfill the Great Commission. So I was just being obedient. I hid that away in my heart. We ended up moving to Hong Kong. Where I got a job as an Olympic coach for 2 years, coaching Olympic athletes, ended up back in YWAM in Montana. But yeah, God's in that step of preparing us for, I call it our destiny purpose. You know, God was preparing me. We had kids along the way. And the thing about following Jesus, it's like he opens up those doors. And Team Extreme was never my idea. I never thought. Some of you remember back the Power Team, John Jacobs. In fact, they were in the pit. I think I saw them when I was at UNM. And just big, strong guys breaking bricks, tearing telephone books, lifting huge amounts of weight. So I never thought I was going to have a team like that. Long story short, I end up in a state, Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, and God opened up the door for me to be a part of this team. Suddenly, as one of those things, I was doing something totally different. They didn't have enough guys for the night, so they called me up on the stage. I was sitting in the audience, really, and they called me on the stage to help participate. Laura was sitting in the audience, and all of a sudden, never doing any of this stuff, this guy that was emceeing just said, oh, he didn't even know my name. He kept calling me Mark. When he says, you know, Mark's going to blow up a hot water bottle, and I'm just looking around going, and he put the mic down, and he goes, just put it on your lips and blow really hard. And I'm just going, what? So just, yeah, I was big enough and crazy enough just to do it. Then said I was going to bend a steel bar on top of my head. And then the final thing is there's a big stack of bricks. And again, I haven't done this stuff before. I'm just a guy sitting in the audience. They needed just somebody to come up and seen it before. And he says, yeah, Mark's going to break this wall of bricks down. And in fact, we're going to make it hard for him. We're going to set it on fire. So they poured kerosene all over it, and the flames went up about 6 feet in the air. And I mean, I was so jacked up with adrenaline, I just yelled and hit it as hard as I could. In fact, I hit it so hard, I fell into the fire. I burnt the top of my hair off and my eyebrow and eyelashes off. And that was a journey. But God is a God of suddenlies. He's a God that gives us the desires of our heart. And that's when it was birthed. And then I sort of took over the team. And long story short, we've been, I don't know, to almost every state in the U.S. Our team's been out of 100 countries around the world, preaching the gospel in VBSs, but also preaching the gospel to 70,000 people in Pakistan, stadium event. But yeah, it was like God knew he created me to be an evangelist. He just had to prepare me for the ministry he was going to give me through studying the word of God, being faithful in the small things, and just following him. So, yeah, unique, breaking bricks, tearing telephone books. It gets people to an event that would probably never step into a church. And it gets people that crazy background. Some of our guys have been in prison. Other guys have just been addicts, suicidal, just big, strong, huge guys, not your typical guys maybe you would see with a suit and tie on at a church. But it attracts probably most of our crowds are about 70% unbelievers or maybe even backslidden Christians. But when they see that a guy that's big and strong and tough can be tender and in love with Jesus and passionate about people, it just breaks the stereotype. So, you know, we use the whole word picture like a modern day parable. You know, we talk about walls in your life. You know, we talk about breaking down the walls of addiction and fear and lies and immorality and pornography that only Jesus can break down those walls. And we use illustrations, modern day parables like a steel bar. And we talk about being in bondage or being behind bars or not knowing our identity. Then when we bend the bars, we talk about freedom and the truth will set you free. So it's a great way of both video and testimony and visual and the word of God to preach the gospel in a very unique way to unbelievers. So that's why it's worked all over the world. I mean, we've never been at an event, whether it's Muslims in the crowd or Hindus or whatever, that haven't been touched by the message and the cross and the gospel and the resurrection. And just a great, unique, amazing way to preach the gospel. So we've done shows at Calvary before. We've done the pit before. I had a great crowd at the pit. But, you know, it's a different method, but the same message as anybody else preaches, cross or resurrection and Jesus and the kingdom. So, yeah, long answer to your question.
I love it. Kevin and Laura Stark are talking with us today about Youth with a Mission and Team Extreme. They are missionaries and have been so for over 33 years. Kevin and Laura will be right back with us. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
New Mexico, we love it, but it's no secret our state is left behind in some very vital social issues. Child hunger, single parents, and abortion, to name a few. The people of God can and must take action. That's what Mission New Mexico is all about at KNKT and Star 88. This month, featuring Landel Benally of Calvary Chapel Tolokai on the Navajo Nation.
It's very encouraging when you pull up at a house and these elders or these kids come running out to you. And just to see the joy in their eyes to receive the food, it's really uplifting. And it encourages you because you're doing it for a purpose.
That's Lando Benally of Calvary Chapel Tolokai on the Navajo Nation. This month's Mission New Mexico. Loving our neighbors in practical and productive ways is Christianity 101. At KNKT and Star 88, we are a megaphone for New Mexico needs as we provide a clear call to action. Find out more about supporting the work of Calvary Chapel Tolokai by clicking the Mission New Mexico tab at knkt.com or star88.fm.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
The Great Omission. That's what one author said the Great Commission has become. Obviously, not acceptable. At Star 88 and KNKT, we know this great mission job is one for the church. Each month, we put a spotlight on a global outpost for the gospel. This month, we're featuring Kevin Stark from Team Extreme.
We never have been at an event, whether it's Muslims in the crowd or Hindus or whatever, that haven't been touched by the message and the cross and the gospel and the resurrection. And just a great, unique, amazing way to preach the gospel. It's a different method, but the same message, cross or resurrection in Jesus and the kingdom.
That's Kevin Stark from Team Extreme in our spotlight on the Great Mission this month on Star 88 and KNKT. Fulfilling the command of Jesus is possible in our lifetime. To support this ministry, visit star88.fm or knkt.com.
Ready to radically upgrade your prayer life? You have come to the right place if you are ready for dangerous prayers.
These are not easy prayers. These are not safe prayers. These are not benign prayers. We're calling them dangerous prayers, but they're dangerous in a good way. Most people I know in this part of the world, most people's prayers are way too safe.
That's Craig Rochelle from his book, Dangerous Prayers. And this is our summer resource offer. Get it if you are ready to get out of your comfort zone.
What I want to do is I want to arm you with some prayers that are not safe to pray. When you pray these prayers, you're really asking God to do something that will often take you out of your comfort zone.
Unlock your prayer potential with Craig Rochelle's book, Dangerous Prayers. It's our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. We're talking today with Kevin and Laura Stark. They're both former residents of Albuquerque, New Mexico, still have family here. Kevin Stark was a strength coach at the University of New Mexico. In fact, he was an assistant strength coach when I was playing basketball at the University of New Mexico, and I used to see the football players, including Kevin, throwing up a ton of weight. And Kevin just described how they're tearing notebooks or tearing phone books apart and bending bars and breaking bricks. And that's all what Team Extreme is all about. But I want to now go back to something Laura said. Laura, you and Kevin, you and your husband have the unique opportunity to work together in ministry, raise your family together, travel all over the world. Tell us a little bit more about the mission of your ministry, because I know it's just not targeting people that love extreme athletics. You have discipled a lot of people. You mentioned Kevin has brought up a lot of athletes and discipled them, and there came a time where he had to release them to go minister themselves, and you have multiple teams now around the world. So is that really the mission of your ministry, is to introduce people to Jesus, disciple them, and then release them?
Yeah, like Jesus, you know, when he left, the Great Commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them, you know, his ways. And I think that everything with God, he doesn't subtract. He only thinks multiplication, right? Mm-hmm. And he wants everything that we do to be fruitful and multiplied. And so even paying attention to that, like, yeah, it's about the athletes and, you know, what we're doing as far as like their skill and their gifting and teaching evangelism. But both Kevin and I have always been from the very beginning passionate about making disciples. And yeah, just really felt like that was what Holy Spirit was encouraging us to make sure that that's what we're doing. No matter what it looks like, are we multiplying Jesus around us and in the people's lives around us? So, like, for an example, when we do these outreaches, it wasn't easy, but the ministry that we served that actually went before us to set up host homes and help us with the cars and just setting all the stuff up to even do what we did, you know, it's youth with a mission and they're very family missional orientated. So they would go the extra mile to make sure that families stayed together. And I think a lot of things even happened because of those kind of hard sacrifices to keep the marriages and the children together. And so, and there was so many layers and dynamics of how we were making disciples, you know, because, you know, Kevin was, you know, forerunning all this stuff with the guys and the athletes. I'm a mom on the road with my three children, like literally, you know, like living in cars and people's houses and traveling and like never knowing like where we were going to land. But, you know, all of the people that served with us, you know, they saw and they were like, whoa, this is even possible. Like, this is crazy. You know, like I didn't even know that we could even do this kind of stuff, you know? And so this is how you multiply. People watch and they see and they're like, wow, this is awesome. Like, we could stay together. And yeah, it's not easy, you know, because you sometimes don't even know where you're going and where you're sleeping and stuff. But, you know, it's the crazy adventure sometimes. And so just the whole discipleship that has to go along with, you know, some of the teams that we actually did these outreaches with was the Island Breeze. They're all the Polynesian dancers. They came with all their family and kids. The GX International, they're skateboarder, hip hop, break dancers. And we've known these kids since they're like 14, 15, 16, you know, being sent out to be crazy evangelists, you know, so young and using entertainment for evangelism. But then in the process of all of that, we're all doing life together and trying to figure out what does this look like, you know, because none of us have been this way before, you know? And so we're trying to figure out like, wow, how do we hang on to the grace of God and all the changes and, you know, just keep staying in worship and prayer. And so really, like, so many of the things, and we look back, people say stuff to us now 33 years later, and they're like, you know, it was mostly watching you guys and how you did life with Jesus that taught us so much. And that's what we followed and looked at. And, you know, it's just, the Lord said to me, like, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do most of the time. He's like, you just keep your eyes on me and follow me. You're going to look back and see all these people that are following you. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of scary, but I guess I don't need to look back and freak out. I just need to keep looking at him and following him, you know? So there's so many different layers of the discipleship that happen just organically doing life with people, and, you know, good, bad, and ugly, you know, like people saw me in my best, they saw me in my worst, you know, and that's just what we all had to go. And we saw people in their best and worst and really living, how to learn how to live, giving lots of grace and space for people to change, you know, because we were all needing it. We were all needing the grace and space to change because none of us really knew what we were doing, you know, when we live on the road all the time. But anyways, I don't know if that was like the answer to the question that you were
looking for. No, That's exactly what I was after. Laura, I want to ask you, we've talked a lot about Team Extreme, but I understand you have another component to your ministry.
Yeah, like, you know, all these years we've done evangelism, and I always feel like, you know, when we see, I know there's a lot of injustice ministries and outreaches, but one time I felt like the Holy Spirit, you know, was just putting such a burden in my heart, and he was saying to me, Laura, the most injustice that I see is when people don't get a chance to get a new heart, you know, because if someone's heart gets changed, they're not going to go do these unjust things, right? And so we're like, wow, like, you know, we've just been so running with evangelism and preaching the gospel, which is really like, if someone hears the word of God and they change, their whole life changes, you know, then they're not doing the things they were doing. They're doing things for the kingdom of God, and they're doing the things that are good, you know. But there was a part of us that were like, wow, we really need to ask the Lord what, as far as like taking care of the poor, you know, looking at ministries, because we travel, we see the needs that are out there in ministries. And then as the Lord started putting these different things in our hearts about more of them. But now that's the evangelism leg. And then there's like this other mercy ministry leg that we've just been doing the last few years, just being more mindful and more intentional to do more mercy. I know it's all mercy. It's all mercy and grace with God, but you know, just more intentional. Like, so I started this foundation. It's called We Give, because it's everybody that wants to be giving into the Great Commission, into ministries all over the world, but they don't know where the needs are, right? And Kevin and I do, because we've been everywhere and we know these ministries personally that we give to. And the Lord put on my heart to give into ministries that are working in the land of Israel and, you know, the orphan, trafficking, just what all of these injustice ministries, that are in the heart of God and move his heart, because he wants to see justice. He wants to see his word come into these places so lives can be changed. So that's just another thing that the Lord has just put in Kevin and I, and we kind of like just said extreme love, you know? And so there's just different mercy ministries because of extreme that we've, and encouraging the people, all of our guys that are running their own ministries. It's been kind of neat how the Lord showed us, because even though they do the strength feats, they're not Kevin, you know, they're their own person. And some of our guys, they do the strength feats, but they have a gym, or they do the strength feats and they all have their different feel of what they really are passionate about, even though Team Extreme is what they use to preach the gospel. But they all carry a different kind of heart of a mercy that they get to bring in the gifting of Team Extreme into that specific area of their life where that's what they are passionate about. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. You've traveled around the world and you've seen different needs. Tell me two or three of the most pressing needs in the areas of the world where you see those the most.
Well, I mean, Kevin might have some different, well, obviously, yes, Bible poverty, and this is what drives me crazy, because I used to work at Hosanna, too, before Calvary, and I know that the Word of God is the thing that changes a person, you know, and so, because I was in there with so many testimonies of people just listening, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, and lives were transformed, just because the Word of God was going into their heart and their mind, and they were like, being transformed by his word. But like, for me, my thing would say is like, when we go to do any kind of evangelism or outreach or Great Commission assignments, when there's no Bibles, you know, there's no word that we can put in people's hands, that when we're gone, they have the Word of God to read, so that they can continue to be discipled and learn the ways of God when we're all gone. And so that's something that I even tell Kevin. I'm like, I really don't want to do any outreaches if there's not like the Bible or the Word of God given to these people, you know, when we leave. So we're working on making sure that doesn't fall through the cracks. And then like some of our guys live in hard places, like India, one of our TX guys in Paraguay, and, you know, they're on the field. And that We Give Foundation gives to all of our TX guys, because we know exactly what they're doing. And they're like the real deal, and they sacrifice a lot to do what they do with their whole family. And so, like, you know, taking care of the poor, and you read in the scriptures that even Paul and some of the disciples, they're like, that we remembered that we need to always take care of the poor. Like, you could see those scriptures that Holy Spirit was always reminding. You could do a lot for the kingdom, but make sure you're taking care of the poor. You know what I mean? And so this helps us with the Team Extreme and the platform that we've had to do evangelism. And even watching our guys through the COVID time, like, they're out there. You know, Kevin's doing everything he can to do fundraising and raise the money to get to them, because they were all out there, like, literally helping these people in these countries that were really, you know, like Lorraine, she's in the Philippines. My sister, she does, you know, Faith, Hope, and Love Kids Ranch. But when you live in those countries, you literally just have your daily manna, your food for the day. That's all. So when you're in lockdown and you can't even go out, you don't have, like, pantries and storage places, you know. So our guys were out there making sure that the people that are in these kind of poverty places were being taken care of to the best of their ability. So,
Kevin, as people are listening to us talk today and their hearts are pricked and they feel like they want to come alongside you and they want to be part of supporting you, how do our listeners support you?
Well, first and obviously the most obvious is in prayer, and been part of the International House of Prayer here in Kansas City. It's a 24/7 prayer movement, but just in that place of intimacy and that place of His presence, I think the battle is won and lost. So I encourage you, if you can pray for us, you can go to teamextremeintl.com. And get a message to me. You can connect with me on Facebook, Kevin Stark or Laura Stark. And then Laura also has a page, also web page. And it's wegivefoundation.com. So either one of those areas, if you want to go on mission trips with us, we do a lot of weekly trips. We just got back from actually the memorial site for in Minneapolis of George Floyd, and God is moving so powerfully there. Salvations, healings, water baptisms, right there on the spot where he was killed. And so, you know, we do a lot of short-term trips, sometimes for a week, sometimes longer. If anybody wants to go on one of those trips, we're still going all over the world, not in the last couple of months, but we're starting to pick up and go again. So Team Extreme International, or We Give Foundation, or you can contact me or Laura on our Facebook pages, and we can give you some more information.
Kevin, if you would, share a success story. You mentioned that some of your guys are, you know, formerly in prison. You've got a bunch of former athletes. You've got a bunch of big, strong athletes that are helping you. Share a success story, if you will, of somebody that's become part of your ministry and just blossom from there.
Yeah, it's going to have to, there's so many stories. One of my main leaders has been with me since the beginning. His name's Tuame Afua, a missionary group from YWAM. He's from a small village on the island of Samoa. And this group came and preached the gospel to him and his village, only a few hundred people in the village. He just got challenged by God. Again, he's barefooted, probably in a pair of shorts, and on this beach in Samoa. And just felt the call of God in his life. Obviously, he had no means to get any place or no way to buy a plane ticket or no way to do any of that stuff. He just trusted God. Long story short, he ended up joining YWAM, going to Honolulu, Hawaii, where I was on staff for a number of years. He ended up being one of my main leaders, and he's been able to lead bases. He's been able to travel with me, probably 40, 50 different nations. And again, he wasn't a huge guy. It's like you walk into the room and you just got to look at the guy, because he has like 20 inch biceps and but just one of those guys, just faithful. And so many stories. A guy named John Lemon, who was also part of our teams in the in and out of the court system, prisons for years. He actually died twice. He flatlined twice. Once when he was in a fight and he fell back and hit his head on a curb, and he died. And God brought him back to life. And second time he was drunk and traveling down a road, and he flipped his car going about 80 miles an hour. And the car actually came out of his car, and the car rolled over him. He ended up face down in a ditch full of water, and actually died then again. And somebody pulled him out of the water, resuscitated him. And obviously that process, he gave his life to Jesus, and ended up marrying a girl from a Jewish girl from Israel, and lived over there for several years. And you know, I always say sometimes you got to get to the rock bottom, but then I always say Jesus is the rock at the bottom. So all of us have great stories and great testimonies. We're all overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Just a lot of stories. And then you have the Laura Stark story, where she lived in Cedar Crest and, Italian mountain girl, but, you know, never went through a lot of just, you know, the wrong way of living. And so God doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you come from a atheist background or a religious background or just a terrible background. We're all broken and dark before God until he saves us. So, yeah, a lot of great, amazing personal testimonies along the way.
Kevin and Laura Stark, they are with Youth with a Mission, Team Extreme, and Laura started the We Give Foundation. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about how our listeners might be able to volunteer to serve, maybe go on a short-term mission trip. We also want to talk about, again, how to follow the Starks on social media. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, and here's Rob West with today's interesting MoneyWise Minute.
Listen to these words delivered by President Calvin Coolidge in 1926 on the 150th anniversary of July 4th, 1776. Equality, liberty, the rights of man, these have their source and their roots in religious convictions. Unless the faith of the American people in these convictions endures, the principles of our Declaration will perish. We live in an age of science and of abounding accumulation of material things, but if we are to maintain the great heritage which has been bequeathed to us, we must be like-minded with the fathers who created it. We must not sink into pagan materialism. We must cultivate the reverence which they had for the things that are holy. Amen. And happy Independence Day.
Are you looking to take your life's purpose to a whole new level? Calvary College is now offering on-site classes in biblical studies at Calvary Church of Albuquerque. And the next term starts August 17th. You can combine on-site and online classes to fit your life and your schedule. Plus, Calvary College partners with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University to give you options and flexibility. Whether you're working toward an accredited degree or simply want to increase your knowledge of God's Word, on-site classes include theology, church history, and worldview apologetics, both undergraduate and graduate level, all starting August 17th. Apply today at calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
You're having
Remy has taken something of great value from us. Return it to me or I will destroy everything you love.
In the new movie Artemis Fowl, now streaming on Disney Plus, we meet a 12-year-old genius whose criminal mastermind father has been kidnapped, and it's up to Artemis to rescue him. Mr. Fowl is obsessed with legendary Irish creatures like leprechauns, pixies, and sprites. Artemis always thought they were just stories, but he discovers that those magical beings are real, and Artemis will have to kidnap a fairy to save his dad. Disney's latest includes some mild violence and magic, but this PG-rated film also emphasizes friendship, loyalty, and courage. So we're giving Artemis Fowl a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Does it feel as though your life lacks purpose? This week on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings you some good reassurance. We'll see God has a plan to use you. And this time of uncertainty may be just the perfect time to get started with His plan. Find out more this week on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Weekdays at 8:30 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are talking with Kevin and Laura Stark today on ABQ Connect, and we appreciate you guys spending so much time. Where do you live here in the United States when you are in this country?
We're in Kansas City, and been here almost 20 years, but earlier years we were traveling at least 6 months out of the year, a little bit less, I mean, especially recently, but yeah, we're out of Kansas City, right in the heartland.
Does that mean you're Chiefs fans?
We are Chiefs fans. And, yeah, you gotta be a Chief fan, but obviously you're Jesus fans first, so we got our priorities straight. But
we say the KC really stands for Kingdom Come.
Yes. There you go. Hey, I appreciate you so much telling us the success stories that you've had. You mentioned earlier in the interview, and maybe I'll go to Laura with this question. You mentioned earlier that there are short-term mission trips and other ways that people can get involved and volunteer. And then I want to follow up with how people can specifically follow your ministry on social media. So when you give out those websites, go kind of slow so everybody can write them down.
So Team Extreme, which is TEAMXTREME international.com, INTL.com, and everything's on the website there. And then my foundation is We Give Foundation. You spell the word foundation.com. And you can find those on Instagram, Facebook as well if you don't go to the website. So, and if you try to get in touch with us, probably the best way is to message, you know, on Messenger or Facebook or whatever. And, yeah, the outreaches, we had so much happening. And then when everything kind of stopped, we've just been in the waiting, you know, asking the Lord what's next and where to go. As far as like overseas, I don't think Kevin might have better information because he's still working on pulling all that together. Do you want him to talk about that?
Yeah, I know that the COVID-19 thing has kind of messed up a lot of people's plans, but I think we are all hopeful and trusting God that we're going to get back to being able to travel around the world and even travel, you know, efficiently in our own country. So what are you hoping for, I guess, is what I should ask. And I know that the plans have to be fluid at this point.
I mean, I'll just mention this quickly because I think a lot of other ministries and pastors and teachers and the last 2 months, I'm not really a computer a genius, but guy, there are guys out there that are got connected with a guy that has a ministry, social media ministry called Igbalo University. But in the, even in the last couple of months, we've been focusing on a few nations, Myanmar being one of them, but we've been able to reach over 5 million people with the gospel through social media, and we're seeing hundreds give their life to Jesus, and now we're discipling them. And so I encourage everybody, if you're, you know, even if you can't go, one, pray, and if you can't, definitely can't go, you can always send people out. And then just even looking into how you can use social media to preach the gospel.
Yes.
And obviously, preaching to your neighbor, I just believe we're all called to do evangelism, and every believer is called to be missional and called to be a witness for Jesus. And a lot of times I think we want to push it on to the pastor or to a Billy Graham or a Ron Hart Bunkey or whoever, but we're really called, all of us are called to share the love and power of Jesus every place you go. So next year, I mean, we're still trying to go to a lot of the hot spots. Like I said, we just got back from Minneapolis with the team going there. We're going to maybe try to go to Seattle, Atlanta, but we just felt like we're supposed to not shrink back, but rise up and be a messenger in some of these dark areas. And as I think as we do it, with the thing of not so much looking to pick a fight, but to show the love and power of Jesus. There's a lot of hurting people out there right now. And Jesus says that we're supposed to hurt for those that hurt, to hurt for those that are hurting. And so we just went and loved on people, prayed for them. So we're going to have a few of those trips coming up in the U.S. And then obviously we're hoping to get back on the road by at least September, going to the nation of Myanmar. We have a later outreach going and, December to Ethiopia and Uganda, and then hopefully pick back up next year. A lot of just 1 week outreaches to Africa, to South America, to East Asia. We're really focusing on the nation of Myanmar and Mongolia. So if it's a desire of your heart to go on a 1 week outreach to any of those areas, just let us know and we can make the connections.
When you were both considering going into ministry and specifically missions work, did it help you to go on a short-term missions trip?
The trip that we both actually, we weren't even married, but we were both on the one that Calvary did. They were going to Mexico at the time.
An orphanage.
Yeah.
Yeah, and definitely helps. I mean, I think it solidifies your calling, gives you, you know, an understanding of missions. And I mean, we're all called to be missional, whether if we're in the marketplace or whether we're called to go to another country. I don't think any of us starting off thought we would be missionaries going to different countries. It was just the process that God took us through. And we were in Hong Kong for 3 years and we thought we'd be there for life. And God told us to come back to the U.S. and we were obedient. And obviously we come and go now, but I think people in your heart, you begin to feel a passion for a nation or for nations. And some of us are called to go and some of us are called to stay, but we're all called to work together to fulfill the Great Commission. And, you know, Jesus says he wished none to perish, but all to come into understanding of the kingdom. And so I think where it's a group thing. One of the things that you mentioned earlier is the unity piece of, you know, John 17, 21 and 22, the last few years, we've just seen God move with such a passion of trying to see the church come together as this bride, working together, serving one another, loving one another. And we've just seen it so clear and so strong. You know, Jesus says, I want you to be one like me and my Father are one. But we really see it happening. And I think even in this crisis, we need to be the forerunners of unity, of love, of truth. And if I think we have that message, you know, it says real clear, it says the world will know us by our love for one another. Don't shrink back on the truth. Don't shrink back on the message, but be the church, you know, be the answer, be the love. And so I think as we demonstrate that, I'm just so excited about your testimony of how many different churches and ministries are listening to this, and I just encourage them, yeah, be one, do stuff. Obviously, there's going to be diversity, but our hearts can be one. Our love for one another can be one. And we can agree to disagree if we need to be, but let the world see a church that is one in heart and spirit. So it's such a key thing. I'm so glad that churches in Albuquerque are working together, loving one another, serving one another. I think it's going to be one of the keys to a revival. Worldwide revival in our days.
Kevin, you're exactly right. Our show, particularly ABQ Connect, I've been really fortunate to have a number of different pastors, a number of different lay people. We've got Pentecostal. When everything broke out with George Floyd, I immediately talked with Dr. with David C. Cooper. He's a pastor downtown, Pentecostal Black Church, immediately on the radio talking to us about what he thought and his own experience. Your friend Ron Wallace, former University of New Mexico football player. Ron has a magazine here in Albuquerque that particularly targets the Black community, but as you know, he's a guy that just loves everybody and wants people to all have a level playing field when it comes to success. He loves Jesus. These people all really responded. We've got folks from Sagebrush Church and Legacy Church and the Northwest Harvest Fellowship and, of course, Calvary Albuquerque and Citizen Church just coming together. This past weekend, we had a bunch of churches out feeding about 2,000 families with Convoy of Hope.
Wow, that's so good.
Samaritan's Purse has set up an amazing ministry up at Rehoboth Mission up near Gallup, and they are distributing food throughout the Navajo Nation. And churches in Albuquerque that I just mentioned are helping to underwrite that and fund that. And I think, guys, I want to always – I know that you asked for prayer, and I know that you've talked to us a little bit about volunteers, but I also really want to talk about the financial aspects of this. Again, how can people come alongside you and support you financially? Is all that information available on the website?
It's on the website, and you can direct it exactly where you'd like the finances to go. You know, God's just been faithful. I have so many amazing face stories where he's come through in a time of need. A couple just practical needs that are before us is just some of our teams in third world countries. You know, one of our leaders in India said, you know, the kids around his neighborhood, because you're really not allowed to go out, are, you know, hunting frogs and bugs to eat, you know, that type of starvation that is going on in Pakistan and India and some of the other countries. And so that's a real need right now. And then, as we really feel like God is calling us to reach whole nations, you know, in Isaiah 66:8, it says, it's, you know, in Proverbs, it says, ask me and I'll give you the nations. And then in Isaiah, it says, can a nation be saved in a day? Can a people be moved in a moment of time? And I know that's talking about Israel. But I really believe that God's moving whole nations to hear the gospel, to turn from their sins and to follow him. So we're really in the process of working with a whole bunch of ministries and seeing whole nations come to Jesus. And a great example is the nation of Korea in the early 1900s. They went from 4% Christians and extreme poverty. At one time, they only had a few handful of people that even had driver's license. Everybody rode bikes, you know. Everybody just ate kimchi before it was popular. But very poor nation. Now 40% of the populations are believers, and it's one of the top 10 richest nations of the world because they begin to follow God, and God begin to bless them and prosper them. So any of those areas, if you'd like to, you know, talk to us more in detail, we'd love to share with you some of the needs. But we just think, you know, the churches in Albuquerque and Skip and Calvary and Chip, just they're faithful friends to be a part of our lives and really sow into us the foundation of our faith and just loved us well. So, yeah.
Well, one more time, give out your websites.
So it's Team Extreme International, TEAM. extremeintl.com. And then the WeGive Foundation, just like it sounds.com.
Kevin and Laura Stark, Youth with a Mission, Team Extreme, and the WeGive Foundation. Thank you both for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
All right. Love you, Albuquerque. Great day to you. And so much, Jim. Blessings over you and your family.
God bless you guys.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.